It was 279 days ago that the UK lockdown began. Happened due to a tiny virus that we're all now familiar with the name of and the graphical representation of, invisible to the ordinary eye, but dangerous to us. And since then, our attention has been focused, the attention of the country has been focused on handling it and its effects on society. However, events like this, moments like this in the life of a society, life of a nation, should lead our minds onto other things as well, because they can act as metaphors. They can point us towards other things we should consider in life. And the Bible certainly would use something like a great disease to do that. Indeed, the Bible has a powerful example of that when it uses disease as a picture of something far worse, something 100% deadly. Sin. But at Christmas, we celebrate how that fatal disease has been decisively beaten by God. 1 John 4 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." And for Christians today, that's our great counteraction to the feeling maybe of depression and frustration we feel as on the virus side, things seem to go worse again and we get sunk down into a lower tier of activity. We become more isolated, more upset. But we counteract it by remembering that where we may fail to battle with a small virus, God has overcome the most fatal thing that we have to deal with. So we'll talk about that for the next few minutes. I'm going to use the COVID experience to do this, to tell the Bible story of sin and God's defeat of it. And I'm going to use, therefore, five stages or 5 points to do it. We'll talk about 1, the virus, 2, the fear, 3, the lockdown, 4, the help, and 5, the solution. Virus, fear, lockdown, help, solution. Let's start with virus. First point. Now, one of the striking things about COVID has been its reach. It's been a pandemic where the whole world has been affected, where we've seen graphs of how it's affected other countries, where we've seen scenes on our televisions of people affected by the same virus that affects us. Not by a different thing that's gripping them, but by the same thing that we're dealing with. Well, in the Bible it says sin is exactly like that. It is not contained in one society, one group of people, one place. It is worldwide. It is everywhere and affecting everyone. But what is sin? To understand it, maybe the simplest way is just to begin with who we are so that we can think about what sin is. What are you? What am I? Maybe our society, with all its focus on biology and chemistry or what have you to try and deal with this virus, would say, well, you're a bag of chemicals. And if we can only find some extra chemicals to introduce into your system, we can fix you. We can save you. But the Bible says, no, you're not just a bag of chemicals. Though you are, in that sense, a jumble of molecules all mixed together, you were designed and built by God, not by luck. That there is a plan to your existence. You don't just happen to be. And that more than that, or in fact, to put it this way, you are more than the sum of your parts. You are not simply the material you're made of. Because God has put so much more into you. He's breathed into you. You are living. You are spiritual. You know this because you're conscious. You think about yourself, even at this very moment, and you are aware of the world around you. And you know it because you also have a conscience, which means that you are aware of your behaviour. And you are aware of when it goes wrong or when others wrong you. You're not a lucky bag of chemicals. You and I were made with a purpose. But that has an implication. And that takes us towards the meaning of the word sin. The implication is this. If we go off purpose, it ruins us. You know, compare it with a car. A car is an object designed to transport you around on the roads, but it can be used in a variety of contexts. You can use it for racing or whatever it may be. But it has particular purpose. It can't be used as a boat. If you try, you die. And more than that, even when it is being used on a road and not in a lake or on the sea, even when it's used on a road, a car has to be controlled properly by a driver who knows what they're doing, who's been trained to do it, and who isn't currently drunk so that he or she has lost control of their senses, but is fully able to keep that vehicle on the path it should follow, at the speed it should be at. A car that's not being driven properly is no longer a car, it is now a lethal weapon. It's half a ton of metal that can wipe people out. You know what the purpose of a car is? And you know that if it goes off purpose, it becomes fatal, lethal. The Bible says, so for you, human beings, you and I. If we go off purpose, if we don't use life the way God designed us for, planned us to do so, we become dangerous. And sin is the word which describes us doing that. Sin began long ago when humanity decided to ignore the Creator, to ignore the one who could give us the handbook to life and explain how to drive life. And we do our own thing. And so we became drunk on our own power. And we started careering around the world in all kinds of dangerous ways. We were sent crazy by it. We ended up trying to use life for things it was never designed for, and crashing life into things and causing havoc, causing death. You don't have to look far for the symptoms of this, do you? How hard is it to see that this is true? Not hard at all, is it? All you've got to do is take a couple of moments to reflect on the nasty side of humanity. You think about the hatred we can show, and do show. Or the selfishness, or the unfaithfulness, or the deceit we use to lie to others, or the lovelessness where we can't be bothered with others, or the bullying in order to control others, or the cruelty because it gives us a kick to harm others, or the perversion where we simply delight to use what we are for some other purpose it was clearly not designed for because it excites us, or the abuse. Or if you want, just go the whole way into the crimes we commit and talk about the rape and the murder and the war. It's not hard to see the symptoms that the car is not being used for the way it was designed and it's being driven by a headcase who is drunk. The dark side of humanity is our life gone off purpose. Sin. In you, in me, everywhere, everyone, no exceptions. It is the virus in our system. It is the pandemic that is everywhere. Part two. Let's talk about fear. People became very fearful of COVID, didn't they? They stopped touching one another, hugging one another, exchanging a kiss with one another. Yeah, there are societies in our world for whom the desire just to greet people with personal touch is so natural, so much a part of who they are, and suddenly those societies had to cancel all of that. As I said to somebody yesterday, everybody had to become English suddenly. Touch and affection due to anxiety about the virus and its killer power. This virus has changed all the regular patterns of life, and it has had some very sad side effects because of its fear, because of what it might do, because of the effect it might have. As the virus grew, the charts began to appear, didn't they? The graphs. The rising numbers of people with it, and then the rising numbers of dead through it. Never reached the terrible predictions that had been made. But even so, fear. People became scared, frightened, terrified. Now, of course, had we, going back to the first point, thought of ourselves as bags of chemicals, we might have said, well, what are you scared of? I mean, in the end, death is the most common occurrence in the world. It's the one certain thing that everybody gets in life. They get to die. So why get so scared? Everybody dies, every animal dies. Why do you fear? Death's just natural. But the Bible would then step in and say, it's not. And you know it's not. Death has come because of sin. Death is the outcome of our rebellion. It stems from our abuse of God. We were made to live by a God who's always been alive, to share in his experience. We die because we turned away from that life, his life. Why are people so scared of death? The most common thing in the world. Because it's unnatural. But there's something more to that. Because across the world, you find that people fear that something lies beyond death. And that's because we are spiritual, not just material. We are not just of the stuff of this world, but we have the spark of life within us from God. The Bible confirms our fears. It says you are right to think something lies beyond. You think death is the end? There is a second death. The ruin of a soul lost far from God forever, where nothing good remains. And the possibility of that haunts the dreams or the nightmares of the human race. People can deny it. People can say, oh, I don't think so. We've got no evidence for it. How could you ever prove it? But it haunts our minds. And the Bible says, oh, no, there is evidence. You should wake up and face reality. You know within yourself you are more than that bag of chemicals. And through the things God has done, especially in Jesus Christ, he has shown you are. Wake up to reality and stop hiding. We fear, and our fears flow from sin, the disease which has infected all of us and led to the unnaturalness of death. But can we tackle it? Can we tackle sin? So let's come to point three. We've done virus, we've done fear. Let's do lockdown. Key to the government's approach to COVID has been the lockdown, and we're even more conscious of that this morning because we've gone into tier four, where things have got more isolating again. You restrict what people do. The aim is to slow the virus down, to slow its impact, make it more manageable. Now, there's lots of debate. Is that the best thing to do? Given the relative survival rate of the virus, etc., etc., people discuss, should you lock down? But we're more interested in sin this morning. And in regard to sin, God did use lockdown. For example, the Bible says, go back to the start of time, human life was way longer, far, far longer, multiples longer than the sort of little brief experience we have, a few decades and gone. The Bible says that the world was once a much easier place to live, whereas now there's the constant struggle. If we're not struggling physically, we're struggling mentally or emotionally just to cope with life, to get through another day. God changed the world in order to lock down sin. He even uses the language of cursed the world, put us in a bad place, like a prison, to lock down sin. God then gave laws to identify and punish sin. Now, inevitably, human beings took that idea and ran with it, got all excited about it, came up with lots of our own, going on and on and on, thinking that suddenly law was the answer. We found the answer to our problems. We must make laws. And, of course, it was stupid. And often we made bad laws. But we recognised the need. There was a place for law. Our behaviour had to be controlled. Well, God had already said that. But as with COVID, so with sin, a lockdown doesn't solve the virus. It doesn't remove the virus. It just contains it. You can have the finest laws in the world. Human beings will still sin. Now, the Bible shows you that. It has a very clear example of that very fact. It presents to you a nation, tiny little nation, a nice little experimental nation, if you like. Call it Israel, because God did. And that country, God adapted it to handle sin. Firstly, he adopted it as his own. So now it had access to God. He said, I'll be in your midst. It was loved by God. He said, I will bless you if you stay close to me. It was given laws by God to create the structures, to contain and control sin. And did human beings under such a system thrive? No, they went wrong. They ended up doing really dreadful things. They ended up under extreme measures from God. By the time you get to somebody like the prophet Jeremiah, you're not in tier 4, you're in about tier 10. Where Israel is simply extracted out of its own country and banished off to exile somewhere else. Lockdown doesn't defeat the virus. It only limits the damage for a time. Laws and other controls do not stop sin. They only restrict it for a time. And of course, there's always a negative effect of lockdown, isn't there? And we know that only too well. Lockdown causes terrible damage. Even if it's necessary. As we've seen with COVID, relationships come under great pressure. As we've seen with COVID, health deteriorates in other ways, even if you don't have the virus. And that can not just be physical health, but mental health has been put under huge strain. Education has suffered, the economy has suffered. You know, it's the same with sin. You can use laws to control sin, and they can be helpful. They can put brakes on sometimes. But often they harm as well, because laws restrain freedom. Something is lost. There's always a price for having a law. Sin is the virus in the human system. It led to fear, and it requires lockdown. But, number 4, help. The Christmas story. The whole thing we're trying to drive towards, because we don't want to stay negative just trapped on the topic of sin, is that help has come. Now, The American president, Ronald Reagan, some of you may remember him, he was president in the 1980s, once said this: the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." Some in the UK are asking whether our government has helped with its approach to handling COVID. But in regard to sin, help has really come. Truly come. Famous Christmas verse says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. You may or may not want the government to come and help, depending on your view of them. But to have God come and help, that's real help. And he has come. Not us finding God. Yeah, I mean, due to sin, you can spend a lifetime looking for God and never find him, because you're wandering around in your own way. You know, if you are a drunk car driver, you can think that you're going to end up at Tesco's to do your shopping, but the fact is you may well end up just wrapped around a traffic light somewhere. But it's not us finding God, but God has come to find us. In Jesus, God has come to us. He's taken on human life to be among us, with us. He's not given up on being God. It's not as though Jesus resigned being divine and decided to become human. But he became like us while remaining divine to bring us to know him, to know God. True help has come. Another famous Bible verse says, John 1 verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." There is the heart of Christmas. You know, one of the effects of sin, one of the symptoms that show you that it's active in the world, it's our problem with relationships. None of our relationships run smoothly. Not just romantic relationships or marital ones, but all kinds of, whether it's siblings, whether it's parents' children, whether it's in family or amongst friends. None of them run smoothly. We want them to, but there's always issues that turn up, gaps that pull open. One relationship just lacks emotion. It seems very dry. Another lacks intimacy, as though there's a distance. Another lacks understanding. People who seem to have a conversation, but they actually seem to be slightly off kilter and talking to somebody else. We say that love is the best thing in the world, and it's all we need. But our ability to love seems to have a bug in the system. We can't clear it. Well, it's true, there is a bug in the system. But it's because the thing that sin snapped wasn't just our relationships with others, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a son, a daughter, a friend. It busted the biggest relationship of all. The one between us and our Creator. Mend that, and you've a hope of mending all the other ones. And in Jesus, God has come to fix it. He's taken the initiative that we couldn't take. And when that is mended, other things can be mended too. At Christmas, God turned up to help. Sin is the virus within. It led to fear. It brought in a lockdown. But God broke through the barriers to come and help by rebuilding our relationship with him. Which leads us to the fifth point, the solution. What is the answer to COVID? Well, in the end, I suppose the scientists would say, ultimately, it's herd immunity. In other words, so many people in a society are defended by their own system against the virus that the virus can't survive in that society. But to create that, you can't just wait for it because too many people fall ill, so you need a vaccine to raise the herd immunity. get our bodies to produce defences. Now, of course, it's an imperfect solution, isn't it? For all kinds of reasons, not the least of which is when the virus mutates, the vaccine may need adjusting. It's not a permanent solution. But Jesus has defeated sin forever. For good. Not will defeat sin, maybe one day, if we're lucky, has defeated sin. How's he done it? Well, if you imagine for a moment, imagine there was a way to beat COVID simply by giving the vaccination to one person. You find that person, you vaccinate them, and for some reason, if you vaccinate them, everybody else is safe. Would you do it? What about if you knew the vaccine would kill the person? But it would still have that effect. Would you do it? We know that there are times, of course, in life where one life has to be lost to save many. We're familiar with that from war. Well, the Bible says Jesus did exactly that. He gave up one life, his own, of his own choosing, of his own volition, with his own willingness, out of his own love, to rescue others from sin. Now, how does that work? Why should Jesus dying free others from sin? Well, remember what sin is. It's the dark side of our life. It's our wrongdoing. Now, how do you deal with bad thoughts, bad words, bad actions? Well, you have to bring justice on them, don't you? You have to expose them for what they are. You have to bring proper measures and punishment against them. Well, Jesus' death did that. He didn't deserve to die. As a Son of God, he was without sin. But he said, let me bear all the consequences of sin so that others can be freed from it. And so he died on a cross in order to do justice on sin so that others could be freed from the punishment due to them. So he died as the public exposure of sin, to show what sin really is, how ugly it is, how cruel it is, how wicked it is. And he died to receive the due punishment of sin, to show what sin deserves and will get under God. There was a day of justice where Jesus hung on a cross and sin was punished with divine power. But instead of it happening at the end of the world, with everybody called into God's courtroom, it happened in the middle of history. A courtroom set up on a little hillside outside of Jerusalem, where God condemned sin and punished it to death. But only one man stood in the courtroom, in the dock, in the prison, on the execution block, Christ. And once that day of justice, of God's justice, was done, sinners like us who trust in Christ know that we will never face that justice, though we deserve it. And Jesus has thus set everyone free, every one of his people free, everyone who trusts him free, from their sin and from the death and from the second death that it brings. So Christmas declares an answer for sin. Matthew chapter 1 verse 20, the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And if sin is dealt with, death has lost its power. And all who place their trust in Christ as Saviour will live forever with God. God raised Jesus to life after he had died, because the day of justice was over. And now was a day of celebration. And now was a day of life. And so Jesus rose to life. And that is the hope of everyone who trusts in Christ. That was the hope that was born at the first Christmas. And in that way, Jesus changed the world. And he changed it for good. And he changed it forever. And so I'd invite you this Christmas to reflect upon Jesus Christ, to reflect upon what he has done, to reflect upon how he has changed the world, and to place your trust in him to take all your sins away, that you may live forevermore.